And that, ladies and gentlemen, is for Mr. Paul Sparrow and all our loyal listeners. It is. Welcome to the Football Pubcast show number 200. And we don't even have our hooters.
Double century.
Double century, yeah.
That is superb, isn't it, really?
And on the way down, there were a couple of complaints from pubcasters whose names I won't mention, that I didn't have a 200 fact, so I've just looked one up.
Go on.
Not only has there been 200 episodes of the Football Pubcast, but Dean Windass scored 200 goals in the English and Scottish leagues.
I would not have thought he'd scored that many.
No. That's blind, yeah,
yeah. He played in Scotland for a few years and did well, didn't he?
He wasn't a goal scorer as such, was he? He was more the sort of link man. I see him as the Yari Littman role.
They were very similar players. I mean, practically.
Oh, when I think of Yari Littman, I think of Dean Windass. I'm sure Yari does himself as well.
And also Bob Taylor, who used to play for West Brom.
So many Bob Taylors. Jill's had a Bob Taylor. Yeah. Probably better than that Bob Taylor. Oh, yeah. In my eyes.
You know
anyway.
What? It may have been the Jill's one, because I just saw Bob Taylor in a Jude.
No, because Jill's Bob Taylor was known as Robert Taylor, or Super Bobby Taylor to Jill's fans.
Oh, nice.
He used to play for Brentford as well.
Yeah.
And actually went to Man City for £1.2 million and did fuck all there.
Wow.
Then to Wolves, did fuck all there.
There you go. Yeah. If you're listening, Bob, hope you're well.
He's probably doing fuck all now, then.
No, he's a manager now. Team like up near Norwich way.
Ipswich.
It's a non-league team.
Yeah, one of those.
Anyway, we digress.
Well, we do 200 shows.
It's not like us.
Well, yeah. You know. Speaking of digressing, that's normally what you do. You know. Yeah. Fine. Fuck you. It's our 200th show. Nothing's going to bring me down that much today. We've got Chris, Dan, Jim, myself, Mike here. Unfortunately,
you've got half a Dan.
Disappeared half a Dan because you've been in Amsterdam, and you always leave a little piece of yourself there. How is Greta? All right.
He was absolutely fine, thanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jerome was supposed to be here, but he's just not emerged today.
He's gone AWOL,
today.
Isn't he, today? I don't know
Andy either. Franks, unfortunately, can't be with us, but he sends his best, as does Tom Hunter, as does the godfather Simon Head. And you know what? There is a sneaky...
He sent us a nice email today, didn't he?
Well, every email from Simon's nice. He's a lovely boy. And there's even a rumour that Stuart Hoare could come and join us at some point today. I don't think he will. Do you think you'll come here, Stu? Yeah, cheers, Stu.
Cheers, Stu.
But as always, we should talk about some football, really. It's not just an anniversary, it's another week. There's been some quite exciting stuff going on. Where do we begin? You know where I want to begin, actually.
Oh, go on then. No, let's begin with Arsenal last night.
Well, we can, yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Utter shambles, capitulation, classic Arsenal all over.
You can almost see Alexis Sanchez drafting his transfer request in his head, couldn't you?
Well, again... amazing performance from him, and we did really well to get 3-0 up, but just went to shit.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. I'm not going to make any excuses because there aren't any. It was just a poor performance.
Well,
when Arteta came off, it started to get really bad.
3-1, he came off, didn't he?
Yeah. So obviously we got the penalty. Even that penalty, I don't know what Monreal was doing. The second one was offside, and the third one was a good goal. But other than that,
first goal was offside apparently, according to Wenger.
Oh, what, the penalty?
No.
It's classic.
No, that's what you said.
Oh, well, okay. Well, anyway.
That's what I read. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I read. I don't know. I didn't see it.
I can just imagine him saying, yes, they had one striker or goalkeeper. How is that not offside? I do not understand.
But yeah, so terrible. But did the same sort of thing to them a couple of weeks ago. Got it back. But
you'll still go through, though. Like, it's not. I've seen a load of Arsenal fans on various social media, and then I've spoken to a couple this morning, season ticket holders, and they're treating it like it's the end of the fucking world. You're still going to go through.
It's embarrassing more than anything.
They need 1 point from 2 games to guarantee going
it's Champions League football. Anderlecht aren't the worst team in the world.
No.
I know it's disgraceful that you've let a 3-goal lead slip and blah blah
with
blah
with the last
blah.
Half hour
me it's not all bad, is it?
They can't win the group.
I think they technically can still win the group, but it needs Dortmund to lose both of the last games,
right,
which is unlikely.
It's a shame because we had a good result on Saturday against Burnley at 3-0. Same team apart from I think it was Ramsey came in, was the only change from the team that beat Burnley on Saturday. So yeah,
is 3-0 against Burnley a good result, or is Anders not?
It doesn't matter. 3-0 against anyone, it doesn't matter.
Hey, we only got a point off.
Yeah, to be 3-0 in the Premier League
doesn't matter.
If you beat someone 3-0, score 3 goals, keep clean sheet, then you're doing alright.
It's funny though, because Dortmund obviously romped away with the group, but they're doing fucking terrible in the Bundesliga. They're in the relegation zone at the moment.
Yeah,
they're in the relegation zone.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they did play Bayern at the weekend, which they lost 2-1. And it was actually quite a good game. I watched the first half.
Did you see the snub from Royce. Lewandowski went to give him a hug, and Royce basically went, "No, jog on, mate." in German, I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, Lewandowski scored, didn't he?
Did he?
I
have been in a little bubble for the last few days, so I know some of the football results. I had my old man text me on Sunday going, "Are you watching this shit?" And I said, "Actually," and another mate texted me going, "Tottenham are shit." I didn't text back to my old man saying what I said to text my mate. I said, "I'm off my tits in Amsterdam. Forgot they were playing." But obviously I did send Captain R on Twitter. I wasn't quite sure what was fantasy and what was reality.
Yeah.
But it turns out I think we did win 2-1 with two last minute goals.
Mm. Am I right in thinking that Spurs have quite a big fan base in Amsterdam this league because the large Jewish community, and I'm not saying this is some sort of jibber-jab, I'm pretty sure there's an association between Ajax and Spurs. I might be wrong.
I'm not aware of. I did see one geezer in a Spurs scarf, which I thought was just quite random.
Yeah.
But it was cold, so
Well, I can tell you, actually, on our last show, I was going to Prague last week.
Thanks, mate.
And I actually saw something brilliant in Prague. I didn't have a chance to take a photo. I did see from the zoo Dukla Prague's stadium. Dukla Prague, of course, from the great.
So you saw the football stadium from the zoo?
I only liked it because Dukla Prague are from the famous Half Man, Half Biscuit song, "All I Want for Christmas is a Dukla Prague Away Kit," which is a brilliant song. I urge you to look it up. But I saw something fantastic in one of the souvenir shops. They have a lot of marionettes in Prague. They quite big puppets on the street.
Oh, yeah. Pinocchio.
And they also do a lot of Russian dolls. And there was a shop full of Russian dolls and all manner of different things, but including football teams. And the one that caught my eye, they had a Reading FC Russian dolls. So I'm assuming that as you open it up, people are like, "Oh, there's Adam Lafondre." It was a kit from when they were last in the Premier League.
Okay.
So there's Adam Lafondre, there's a Lightwood or whatever he's called.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely mad.
It's really random.
But that was as far as my football experience out there. What I wanted to talk about at the start of the show, mainly to try and earn some brownie points off Jim, is Bournemouth being top of the championship.
Oh, absolutely amazing. Brilliant. Six wins in a row.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Chris Evans on BBC Radio 2, his sports presenter, has decided to start showcasing them. He's mentioned them since they beat, what was the big cup game they won? Oh, no. So they beat Birmingham 6-0, didn't they?
Because they're into the quarterfinals of the Carling Cup.
Yeah, they beat Birmingham 6-0 at Brom, and then, they beat West Brom in the Cup the other day.
We've got a little dodgy character sat at the table next to us, sometime podcaster.
He was just looking for an invite. Yeah. Fucking hell. He's come and sat down beside us, looking like
West Ham fan. I was there when you saw Downing's goal in my house on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
What's he doing there?
I don't know, I can't remember, I was drunk.
You probably still were, actually.
You sound like you still are.
Stuart Downing is playing central midfield. And he's playing central midfield and looking like an absolute star.
He's a start for England.
I'd give him a chance. The one place we don't need anyone at the moment is central midfield.
Hang on. Stuart Downing is playing centre midfield for West Ham and playing well.
And there is a genuine clamour for him to be back in the England squad.
Yeah.
Since they put him there, that's how that upturning form has pretty much come about.
Dan's thinking, what did I smoke in Amsterdam? How has this happened?
Seriously, what?
Is there a bit of a clamour building for a Charlie Austin in the England squad as well?
Well, I don't know if that's getting to quite a clamour state.
Did he score? Was it him that scored the back heel against Chelsea? It was him.
And all the time you've got people like Ricky Lambert making England squads from doing pretty much fuck all.
I'd chuck Kane and Austin both in.
Might as well.
Because Sturridge is not going to be around. Well, if he's, he ain't going to be fit, is he?
I can't believe that you didn't get the fucking the wrestling reference there. Kane and Austin.
Oh, the idea. Right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kane.
I don't do that fucking
shit.
John Undertaker's being tipped for a call off as well, but we'll see if
Downing before.
In terms of England, Downing's always been a bit of a joke.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
because he's never really done anything. But forget about when he actually came through. He was a fucking brilliant
player. Remember, he went to the 2006 World Cup having won, I think, one or two caps in advance, and was one of those players that everyone said, "Oh, really exciting, he's the future." He came on
I never remember him being anything but a pile of shit.
He had a great reputation when he came through at Middlesbrough. His crossing was fantastic. Yeah. I remember him putting in a great cross against United. We drew with him 1 year, 1-1. And a couple of other occasions where he did look like a potential answer to the left wing problem. Now, obviously, he then went on and stagnated a bit, but he was also very good at Villa. The fact that Liverpool shelled out 20 million for him.
No, I thought that was a joke in itself. I don't remember. Maybe it's just the blink of view.
They paid over the odds, but
I just don't remember Stuart Downing ever being any good. Yeah. That's just my personal memories.
You don't play Premier League football, you don't get picked up by Premier League manager after Premier League manager if you're not very good. He had a really bad season at Liverpool where he did absolutely fuck all in terms of stats. I don't know what his performance is like. None of us round here do, because we didn't see him week in, week out. But no. I don't remember that many Liverpool fans absolutely caning him. He was a bit of a joke figure on Twitter and social media and what have you.
I just remember his always being like that. I never remember a period where everyone actually convinced me that he was
starting
good.
Out. It was a Borough.
Borough, yeah.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, but people have Premier League careers on the back of that.
Look at someone like Ashley
Danny
Young.
Graham.
Ashley Young, similar. Danny Graham, yeah. There's all these players who might only have one or two good seasons. They come through quite young. Catamo, yeah. I mean, there's an endless list, really.
Plethora of shit players from Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Until the Brazilian lads went.
Adam Johnson.
Yeah.
See, when
poor man Stuart Downing.
When I think of Middlesbrough, I just think of Ravanelli.
Emerson.
And Janino, Emerson.
Yeah, that's all I think of still.
The best.
If you was a Middlesbrough fan, let's be honest, you're still probably going to be thinking of that. Although they're
doing
top.
Well.
They're top.
Yeah.
No, Bournemouth are top now after last night.
I thought it was joint top.
But Bournemouth are ahead on goal difference.
Yeah,
all right. But Bury up there doing fantastically, and
there's some decent. Well, I know it's the League Cup. There's some decent ties for that League Cup.
Yeah,
we got Chelsea away at Derby. That'd be a fucking good game.
He's not at Derby now. He's at Borough, isn't he? Patrick Bamford.
Yes,
scored
last night.
Yeah.
Who did Newcastle get in that? Are they still in it?
Wait to Spurs. Is it Liverpool, Bournemouth?
I think it is Liverpool, Bournemouth.
And who? And Sheffield United are playing.
I'm not sure.
I'm out.
Somebody.
Knowledge.
A team. Football.
Bollocks.
Doesn't matter.
They're playing someone.
Yeah,
playing
shit.
Don't really care.
But, I don't think my missus would disagree with me that the best thing about our honeymoon this summer was seeing an Indonesian fella wearing the Middlesbrough away shirt from 1996 with Ravanelli 11 on the back. I don't think she'd disagree with that.
I think she'd completely agree.
Maybe that says a lot about our honeymoon, you know? I'm not sure.
What all Ravanelli does now?
He probably looks dashing with his silver hair.
I don't know, I reckon he's fat.
I think he's managing somewhere. I'm sure I saw him come up, and I'm sure he was linked with the
team. Is he managing the team that are going to play Bournemouth in the next round?
Yeah, possibly. I think he was linked with a job in Scotland as well, because he played briefly for Dundee.
That reminds me of that Where Are Those Footballers Now Twitter account that's actually really fucking good.
They used to do that a couple of years ago and it disappeared. I don't know if it's
it's back.
Yeah, we used to cover it.
Where are they now? Yeah, I think it's come alive again. There's been really good ones recently. More than Ravanelli, though.
I can tell you where one retired footballer is, and that's down the auction house, David James.
Shit,
it's a shame. He's having to sell off a load of his stuff, all these old shirts that he's collected down the years.
He's having to sell it off because he ain't got room for them. He played about 8,000 games.
Spent them all
he?
On paints and fucking canvases.
Yeah, he's a bit of an artist, isn't he?
But he's now bankrupt, so he's having to sell all this stuff. He's selling his van. He's got a customised Vauxhall Astra van. I didn't even know they made Vauxhall Astra vans. He's selling his customised chopper bikes.
Wow.
He's got a number of them.
So he's literally.
But you can go online and look at it all, yeah. But all the autographed shirts and stuff, they're about 30 quid. Oh, and here's another face who's appeared briefly on the podcast, Peter Smith, who was at the England Uruguay game in the 1966 World Cup.
That's right.
The only game England didn't score.
That's right, that's all he'll get.
Yeah. He's off for a beer, yeah.
Thanks, Pete.
Won't keep it waiting.
Short and sweet.
Apart from the sweet part, yeah.
Thoughts on Liverpool being dickheads last night, is my opinion on it.
I don't know about being dickheads. I think it's disappointing Brendan Rodgers coming out and saying 1-0 defeat is a good result, because it's never a good result to lose.
I
agree with Danny.
Well, fucking hell.
What's the point in resting players to get into next Champions League when you're playing in the Champions League? You make the point of, you can play Real Madrid and Barcelona in the Burnabeu. You get to play in the Burnabeu, you make the Champions League. Made it, and they're putting a shit team out. It's fucking bollocks. Yeah. Fuck off. Nothing you can say.
No, you know what I did last night?
Leave it, Jim.
You'll agree with me.
It wasn't tactical. He was just resting. What's he said?
He brought lads on for nearly half an hour.
What's tactical about resting your best players?
Yeah. No, I'm completely with Jim. And you'll agree with me on this, Jim. I think what they really missed last night was the famous European night atmosphere at Anfield.
Yes, of course. It was 0-0 when I switched on against Real Madrid, and I can hear the players shouting at Anfield. 0-0. I had a right old fucking Barney on Saturday night with a Liverpool fan, because he was like, oh no, it's because we were losing 3-0. No, mate. I turned it on at 0-0 and I could fucking hear it.
Jim hasn't been this unhappy since they turned down the idea of the 39th game.
Well played to Crystal Palace fans. Anyone see them on Monday night as well?
Massive
fuck off banners just saying 38th game, stays in England, English games on English soil. No, I love those Palace fans, they're absolutely brilliant.
Speaking of banners in the crowd, actually, on last night, did you see all the Real Madrid fans having banners saluting the Liverpool fans, saying, like, great clubs, stick together and shit like that?
They still booed the Never Walk Alone when they started that. I thought Liverpool fans were the best thing about Liverpool last night.
Did you see them chant at Paul Scholes before the game? You ginger mank twat, or something like that. And it zoomed in, and Scholes was just waving at him. He was obviously loving it. So he waved at them, they kept on singing, they finished the song, he waved again. He was just he loves it.
Scholes is quite neutral in terms of that. Gary Neville, on the other hand, when he's commenting on Liverpool or a former Liverpool player, he can't wait to stick the boot
in. Getting worse, isn't he, Gary Neville? Although, to be fair, he still sticks the boot into United as well, but he's getting more and more. His club allegiance is coming out. When he first came through, he was a lot more balanced.
Scholes, he looks a little bit scared on TV still.
Yeah, because he's worried that Roy Keane's going to come back and join him, because Keane's giving him a lot of stick.
Michael Owen's going to be the number one pundit soon, though, isn't he? It's only a matter of time.
Oh, did you see... He's got in trouble about his tweet that he said that he had to... divert from, he was flying to Manchester, but they had to fly down to London and then back to Manchester due to fog or something. And he was like, been put through terror, or something like hashtag terror. And they were like, really?
In your private jet,
is that really terror?
Cheers, Mikey.
Yeah, like,
good but, lad.
Yeah.
But, Michael Owen's most famous moment in the United shirt was his goal against City, so maybe we should talk about the derby next.
Did you see the little 10-year-old kid, the little clip of the 10-year-old kid? That was wicked. Some of the best analysis. We should get him on the fucking show. The best analysis I've ever seen.
Yeah.
A little 10-year-old kid gave an interview after the game about a minute and a half. No, he doesn't swear
enough.
Where
is he? United or City fan?
He's a United fan. But he was very sort of magnanimous. He said,
you did well, mate. I
thought we played all right.
Yeah, it's good when you go to your main rivals and get a 1-0 loss.
Our main rivals are Stockport County now.
You actually genuinely... we did all right. I love the fact United now losing 1-0 away from home. I just love it. I think it's brilliant.
Don't get me wrong. The result is highly disappointing. I thought the performance was reasonable.
Smalling was a fucking idiot.
I think if we kept 11 men on the pitch, we probably would have got some out of the game. But
you do know, like, 2 years ago, if you played like Man United derby, lost 1-0, you'd be like, it was disgraceful.
Two years ago, we played like that in the derby and lost 6-1, played worse than that. So
that was at home, that was at Old Trafford.
At least we're improving performance. Well, that season we lost 1-0 again.
I just can't believe the turnaround, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Brings a smile to my face, to be honest.
I'm sure it does. But the performance is, you know, I will say the referee was dreadful in the derby. City should have had 3 penalties and Rojo should have been sent off in the first half as well.
He's done his dislocated shoulder, hasn't he?
He dislocated his shoulder going in for another stupid tackle that probably would have got him a booking.
He's a bit nuts, isn't he, as well?
He's a bit nuts, but you like that. I like having players who are a bit insane.
I still can't believe United aren't in Europe at all as well.
I know.
That's a bit weird,
because every Tuesday and Wednesday, like yesterday, I knew it was Liverpool Madrid. I was going to watch that, and then I was thinking, who are Arsenal players? I looked. Couldn't remember the games tonight because it's Chelsea at home. Man City are at home to the game they have to win.
Moscow,
and Chelsea are away at whoever they.
Maribor.
And I was looking at it and I was like, who are United playing? I didn't say that out
not
loud
been a dick,
I was on
yeah,
the
yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And then I thought, oh no, they're
out of
team. Yeah. yeah. And I was like, fuck me, they're not even in the UEFA Cup. It still seems strange to me. From the age that we sort of are around this table, late 20s,
they're not in some sort of European.
It's a bit of a bizarre situation, but you know. It is what it is. We brought ourselves, haven't we? So I'm more disappointed than anyone. I think it's going to be more funny next season when Southampton are on ITV1 playing Barcelona or someone in the Champions League.
They can't keep it up. Well, fucking Pele's quality, though, isn't he?
You're looking at both Southampton and West Ham now, thinking, right, one of them is going to get a dick in at some stage and then it might all unfold. I really hope it doesn't. I like both.
The one thing for Southampton,
they've done it the right way. Yeah. They've done it the right way as well.
Oh, yeah, I have no begrudging of it. The only bugbear I have with West Ham is the fact that Allardyce got so much stick. I don't particularly like Allardyce, but he's shown he's a pretty good manager.
What was the Newcastle result there as well? Did they win again?
Yeah, they won 1-0 against Liverpool.
Of course they did. Yeah, they won again, didn't they?
From a West Ham point of view, thoughts on Allardyce, genuine thoughts on Allardyce.
I was Sam out, I'm not going to lie. 18 months ago, that was where I stood, and a lot of fans did. And the thing is,
I'd say the majority of all the
Sutherland and Gold listened to that, and they gave him an ultimatum. He said, play a bit more attacking football. He's made the right signings. He's been a bit braver going forward.
He's stopped
the anti football tactics.
Probably not having Carroll in the team has taken that negative tactics away.
There's a stat on Match of the Day that we've had 37 shots at goal from headers this season, so the cross is still going in. But when you've got people like Enner Valencia, who for a short-ish guy what he can do with his head's unbelievable. Like some of the headers he's been scoring, and you don't.
What
really
that man
that.
Can do with his head?
What yeah. Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Burnley scored that header.
Burnley. Yeah.
There are very few of us short guys who are good in the air, you know. So it's nice to have.
You say very few of us.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd notice that. I
you
can't
kick a ball, let alone it.
I know. Yeah. But I'm all right in the middle with me belly.
But I still don't think Allardyce will lead West Ham into the new stadium.
No.
We'll see.
Well, it'll depend on this. It'll depend where they finish this season, probably. Do you not think? If he finishes in Europe.
Well, who do you replace him with?
I'm not getting into all of that, but I don't think from a business model.
Well,
I don't think Brady Sullivan. No, I haven't got the answer to it. I just said I don't think.
Who does then?
My opinion of saying that is because I don't think Sullivan, Gold, and Brady want him at the head of the club when they go into this new stadium, because they want to do
a game. Yeah. If West Ham get into the Europa League next season or Death Stream the Champions League and then go through a dodgy patch of results, yeah. Death Stream.
Why are we even giving that any time?
Look around the Premier League now. It could only take 3 months, a rough start at the start of next season, and he'll be out. Because football's fickle. Look at Alan Pardew. I don't particularly like Pardew. He's been getting loads.
He's not an ugly bastard.
No, he's not.
He's quite a suave sort.
Yeah, ugly.
Oh, he handles the ladies. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Too many, allegedly.
Yeah. Alan Pardew fan club here or something.
But all of a sudden, he's got a few good results. The Newcastle fans are holding up banners saying back from dead.
One banner.
But they're certainly...
Halloween.
Yeah. The Newcastle fans that I know, I was out with two of them the other day, and they were devastated that they beat Liverpool. Because they still just want him out.
To be fair, Jim, you are of the belief that Newcastle fans are the best in the country as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's sky fucking cliche number 86. Newcastle fans with their tops off and it's cold, the best fans in the world.
Can you imagine Newcastle playing a European night against Liverpool at Anfield? That'd just be the best game.
Wouldn't it? Oh, the Newcastle fans away in the away end will be having their shirts off and they're all fat lads, fucking stupid cunts.
Right, that's twice now in 2 minutes. Yeah. Stop it.
Well, it's the 200th show. I might say the C word 200 times again.
Yeah. That's not the theme of this show.
Well, a few other points from the weekend. One, we've spoke briefly about Dean Windass playing in Scotland, but the first Old Firm derby in a few years, drawn in the Scottish League.
Yeah, it's not till January.
Not till January, but already it's all over the papers up there.
Every day. I bet they're fucking dreaming
it's
about
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. It's going to boost circulation massively.
It's not a proper Old Firm derby, though, is it? Because Rangers are a brand new club, apparently.
Wow.
So it's Tom when you meet them.
Yeah.
So it's the first new old.
Yeah, it's the first new firm derby.
The new firm derby.
I'm sure people have been saying that, but if not,
it'll be very tasty. That's for sure.
Oh, all right, go on.
Yeah, it will be.
Well, John Guidetti, the striker who's on loan there from City, has been putting the boot in already. I can't remember what I think he was talking about the excitement of scoring his first hat trick and the fact that it was against a proper club, unlike Rangers, or something along those lines. And Ali McCoy used to come out and said something. It's all
someone said something and someone else said someone else and then people said other stuff.
Why change the habit of the last 199 shows and actually give some facts?
If you're a Scotland football fan and you don't support one of the Old Firm and you're not massive into international football, you're going to have a hard time of it, because all they're going to be talking about out there is the Old Firm derby, which is still in January, and obviously the England-Scotland game,
which is in a couple of weeks.
Well, the squad must get announced this
anytime soon, I would imagine this weekend, because it's the, I think it's the 18th. The game, so
Tuesday,
be like a week on Tuesday, yeah.
But a friend of ours, actually, friend of the show, Dave Mallon, who is a Celtic fan but comes from Hamilton, so he's also a Hamilton Academicals fan. He went along to their game at the weekend. They drew 3-3 with Partick, I think.
Yeah,
he said it was the worst 3-3 draw you've ever imagined.
How can it be a shit 3-3?
That's what I said. You've got a bad, and Hamilton are still absolutely flying in the league as well, aren't they?
I tell you what, the best thing to look up this week to do with Scottish football, there is a match review of Greenock Morton versus Airdrie from the Scottish Cup. It was a 0-0 draw. It's gone to a replay. It is the funniest review of a game you'll ever read. By the it was from the Herald, and he basically spoke at length about ancient Greek mythology and basically linking to it being the most turgid game you've ever seen. And just the best thing he said was, the two sets of fans will have to go away with these five words: there will be a replay. It was. I highly recommend looking it up.
You know, Dundee are top, man. Dundee top, Hamilton second.
Yeah.
Selkirk third. If they win the game now, they go above them both.
Yeah.
But it's not quite like that.
Yeah. No, it's
Crocodile
nice.
Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee indeed. Well done for your input, Colin. What else? In fact, I'll tell you what else, and I'll appeal to a lot of our listeners. I know going to Asia, and Western Sydney Wanderers, all 3 years old of them, have won the Asian Champions League after 3 years of existence.
Let's all let that sink in.
Yeah, Jim, don't look impressed, but to be fair, 2,000 fans turned up at the airport to welcome them back.
Oh, did anyone see that fight in Tel Aviv? The player fighting the fan in Tel Aviv?
No.
Did you not see this?
No. So I saw it on Sky Sports News. It was on Sky Sports News on Monday, and I couldn't find out where it was from.
I can't remember the teams. I think it was like Maccabee, Tel Aviv, and...
They don't fuck about out there.
No. Yeah. No. So anyway, Asia...
They don't fuck about
out. Jim sums up the Middle East crisis.
They don't fuck about.
We're not playing games.
Yeah.
So, a fan as
well. They are. It's like Risk.
Yeah,
that's the game they are playing.
Risk.
Yeah, a fan without his shirt. He might have been a Geordie. He didn't have a shirt on.
He still
ran on.
He ran on.
I never knew how to play Risk.
Oh, it was good.
Well, I just used to move him around the map.
No, they made a version of kids called Rusk.
Hey. Boom, boom.
Yeah, so he's run on. The player has attacked, or the fan has attacked the player.
And, what for?
I don't know. I think it was just a bad performance. It might have been the other opposite. It's just run on and basically start
right.
Playing for him.
Don't fuck about.
You know, he's defended himself, the player, and the player has got sent off.
For defending himself?
Yeah, it's really bad.
This is why I've stopped going to Gillingham games now. Because
exactly.
If I go to a Gillingham game again, I think I might do
just
the
run
same
on
thing.
And do the same thing.
And I'm not very big, so I'll just get folded up by one of the players.
Reminds me of an incident that was covered quite a lot a few years ago. It was one of my local teams, Witton Albion. And one of their players part-time was a policeman, and a streaker ran on the pitch, so he tripped him up to help the stewards and stop him because he was holding up the game, and he got sent off for it. He got sent off for violent conduct for tripping up a streaker.
Oh, it was a foul if he didn't get the ball.
No, true.
Well, loads of managers done it.
And there were two there to aim for.
Cluffy clocked the clown once, didn't he?
Yeah. And then kissed him on Match of the Day when they got reunited. And the
Tony Pulis, remember when Pulis got Stoke promoted, they drew with Leicester. Leicester went down, Stoke went up, and they came on the pitch about 2-3 minutes before the final whistle, and Pulis was just looking. You could just see, get off the fucking pitch,
Pulis was tearing his clothes on, putting on a towel, because that's his fighting wear.
It wasn't a towel, was it? It was just a hat, I thought. Just had his cap. Nothing else.
Possibly, yeah.
Speaking of kissing, didn't you see fucking Russell Brand diving on the interview with Allardyce after the Man City game? Started kissing him. Oh, fuck off, Brand.
He looked like a little embarrassed schoolgirl, didn't he, Allardyce?
Yeah, he didn't know what to do.
Blushing. Heroes, like, he's older than him. Yeah.
Park life. That's the meme at the moment. I thought I'd be topical.
Yeah, no, I can't like that.
And also, I like Blur. Great band. Anyway, FA Cup this weekend. I'm really excited because Warrington Town are on BT.
Are United still in the FA Cup?
United, yeah, we are, yeah. I think we're away in Nantwich.
Well played.
You'll probably go out the third round, won't you? Let's be honest.
I can imagine, yeah. We'll be at home to fucking Brentford or something.
Yeah. Brentford are quite good. They got a last minute
Brentford winning. Brilliant against Derby at the weekend. Andy Franks was there. He said it was fantastic.
They got a last minute win against Derby?
Yeah.
Did they?
Derby were top. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. No, I'm not looking forward to the FA Cup.
You're not?
We've got the highest ranked team, innit?
Yeah.
Home to Bristol City, which as a fan of a League One or League Two team, you want a nice non-league team away.
Yeah.
So you could just go to a non-league ground, or you want an easy draw at home.
Because I watched the draw on BBC. They've moved it back to a Monday night, which
tradition,
right? Yeah, well, it was tradition, and then for years it's been on a Sunday. I'm not asked, it's something else to watch on the BBC, innit? But as soon as I saw that draw, I thought that's fucking.
Well, Bristol City will probably drop a few players. They'll look at it and they can probably go to a team like they are struggling. We've got one win in 13 now.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's not like that. Well, yeah.
It's fucking terrible. Joint bottom. Awful. It's funny, when you support a club and like you sort of look at it and think, oh, we'll pick up a couple of results soon, and you just don't. It's just mind-numbingly boring to go and watch it because you know exactly what's going to happen. If we were 2-0 up at the moment, I wouldn't think we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
But it's bound to get that mindset.
You can tell when the players are in the mindset as well. I can't see where the next win's going to come from, and I don't see us winning on Saturday. I don't see us winning in the league.
This is a really, I feel like we need a bit of candlelight and some sort of sad music going on back
which is why I'm not going either. By the time I go to the next game, for various reasons, it's going to be 2 months between me going to a game. Bear in mind, I go week in, week out most weeks.
I was at the Spurs Brighton game last week, and Brighton were an absolute fucking waste of space. Although I did really like, I mean, there's literally nothing to report from that game apart from the fact that Lemayla made a difference when he came on. The Brighton fans were absolutely fantastic for the entire 90 minutes. We did not stop singing their hearts out. The atmosphere at White Hart Lane was fucking abysmal. But did also really like the fact that Ulloa who is now at Leicester, the ex-Brighton forward, yeah. was in the Spurs away end.
Really?
Yeah, with the crowd who just sat there with the crowd.
He was in the Brighton away end, Spurs. Yeah,
sorry.
They need some points there.
That would have been rubbing it in if you'd gone and sat with the Spurs fans. So yes. Premier League, no, you're
Brighton, right. They lost to Bournemouth last game, didn't they? Bournemouth scored late doors.
I think they haven't won in 11 or something ridiculous like that.
He's going to be under pressure soon, isn't he?
Yeah, big time. Like they've because I've got the couple of my old man's mates who he sits next to. We bumped into them on the train on the way back because they come up. And
while you mentioned that, you said the atmosphere is poor. That's understandable. Spurs are home for Brighton. It's a game that they're just going to, they think they're going to win.
It's been like that for a long time, though.
That's the thing in the news at the moment in terms of Mourinho saying about the Stamford Bridge crowd, isn't it?
What, saying it's been poor?
Several thoughts on that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, but if you charge £60 for everyone to get in, you're going to have shit fans.
That's what
have you not seen his quotes, Danny? No, he actually came out after the game. They beat them 2-1 and he said it's very hard to play because we're playing in an empty stadium. He said, I know it's a sellout, but it feels like an empty stadium. Yeah. They make no noise. Proper attacked him. I see what you're saying and I agree with it, obviously. People are now coming back saying, oh, blah, 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 there's lots of things against it. I can see what Mourinho's doing there, though.
What, reverse psychology, make them sing fucking 10 times loud the next game.
And also, classic flags.
That is the first... C-word, join the game.
There we go.
That is the first sign of any complacency slipping into Chelsea. Because basically everyone's saying, oh, they're going to win this, they're going to win that. They've won absolutely nothing at the moment.
Oh, I agree.
And that's a tiny bit of complacency and he's just jumping on it. I think Mourinho does something like that.
I think without Diego Costa, if he's not going to be, if he's going to be struggling for the rest of this season, whatever, I don't think I've got enough up with, top with Drogba and Remy. I think all this chat about Chelsea, I think it's a bit premature. I think you're absolutely right. And if you're right, when he starts saying stuff like that, you know that there's a few little issues creeping in. And he's in.
Yeah, but that's why he's a fucking brilliant manager, because he's gone straight on it. They won the game at the end of the day. They probably would have wanted to beat QPR a bit more handsomely than they are, but QPR are a dangerous proposition because they just beaten Villa. They've got their backs up. They're going to their big rivals. They've got a massive crowd behind them. Absolutely nothing to lose. Stuart and JP, both QPR, well, one of QPR's, and Stuart's sort of given up now.
Yeah.
But they were both looking forward to that game because they just got the win against Villa, which they really desperately needed on Monday night. They've gone there. If they lose that game 4-5-0, write it off.
Fuck it, they're giving it a go.
Write it off and go and move on.
Yeah.
So they took a 2-1. They were like, well happy with a 2-1 loss. So I think QPR win. They've got a game they should win this weekend.
They have got. They're away at somebody quite difficult, I think, or at home to someone quite difficult. Arsenal. I think they've got Arsenal.
Oh, is it? I thought they had a game that they should win.
Possibly.
Ah, well, that's another game.
I think they're at home to Arsenal, I think.
QPR.
QPR. Let's have a look. Here we go.
Oh, what? You want to know now, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Knowledge is the bomb, guys. I haven't got any fucking random stories this week. I'm really sorry.
In fact, no.
I know they've
I'm
got
wrong. They've got Manchester City.
I knew that. I got that before he looked, just remembered. Yeah, Man United, Man City. But they're not, if you want to stay in the Premier League, they're not the games you're looking to win, are they? Let's be honest.
No.
They're the games you're looking to. Yeah,
they're the games you're looking to bonus.
And that's the evening game. That's the evening Saturday.
5:30.
Because my mate had a good point the other day. He said, you can look at those games and think, oh, we'll lose that. That's the whole point of getting into the fucking Premier League, to play.
Yeah,
those home games TV and just have a chance and have a little go at them.
You might as well, because you get
your
famous
foreign
results.
Foreign chairman investors a bit of money at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that a QPR team that was equally as bad, if not worse, beat Chelsea the other year at home when there was the famous John Terry Anton Ferdinand incident. So who knows?
I was there.
What they can do.
If West Ham can do it, Man City can do it. Fucking hell.
Yeah, that plucky little Man City, they can do it if West Ham can.
Jesus.
Don't worry, you're okay, Dan.
I am.
You'll be fine though. Is there any more for any more? Because I think
I'm playing in a Legends game tomorrow with Dion Dublin and Darren Anderton.
Nice.
Oh, Brentford.
Yeah. Well, Darren Anderton will pull out the last minute.
Yeah, he'd bring his note along, wouldn't he?
Yeah, bless him.
Liverpool Chelsea's the lunchtime kick-off.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is why, which was the reasoning behind Rodgers resting all the players.
Yeah,
that was his reason. Apparently, he was like, I want them all refreshed for the Chelsea game on Saturday. But that comes right back round to the point, Dave, that you said, what's the fucking point in resting players to try and get in the next year Champions League when you're already in the fucking Champions League?
Yeah, so Gerrard, he retired from international football to play in games like this.
Oh, I don't know, the right needle if I was Gerrard.
He looked like he did as well.
Yeah.
The Super Sunday Swansea Arsenal, wasn't it?
That'd be decent.
Mm. That'd be a tough game for Arsenal.
Yeah, especially after that shit.
How did Swansea get on the weekend?
Swansea drew 0-0 with Everton in what was apparently a very poor game.
Was it?
That's a decent result.
John Joe Shelvey got sent off. for a very silly second yellow after being out suspended for five yellows and just coming back, so straight away suspended again.
Sent off over the Halloween weekend.
So I know. Bless him. Well, I think that's about it for this week, apart from we promised the last couple of weeks a big announcement. Unfortunately, it's quite a sad announcement, I would say.
John, the big announcement is that we're stopping the shows.
For now.
What have you been building up to that?
Yeah, it's not really a great thing to build up to, is it?
Sorry.
Well, yeah, but we didn't want people
should've
to
just
slip
in, oh, by the way, there might not be a show next week, and then move on.
Anyway,
not the big announcement. Drum roll, please.
Before Jim ruins the surprise of the announcement, we're going to go on what I'm terming an indefinite hiatus. We've had a few things change at work. We're all a bit busy. As you can see, we're struggling to attract sane people down to do the show. Hopefully we'll be back at some point. We really enjoy doing this. It's an excuse to come to the pub at lunchtimes.
I haven't prepared a speech or anything.
No, I don't think we need to, because hopefully we will be doing some more stuff. Yeah. We will still be around on Twitter. We will still all be drinking together, I would hope.
Yeah.
So who knows, but just so you're aware,
what are we on now? We're on like the we'll do one to start December.
We will do a Christmas show, I would hope, if we're all still around.
I'll get some crackers. Yeah, it'd be good.
Probably need it.
Last year we actually did a Christmas, a Boxing Day show, didn't we?
Yeah,
was that last year or was that year
we've
before?
Done that a few times. Do you remember your nan was down there on the Baileys?
We'll definitely have to do that again.
Yeah.
Because basically we record it before Christmas and then we just sort of decide what we think the results might be on Boxing Day.
Last year we were all stood outside the Cat and Canary when we did it. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because the year before that was the Moose.
Yeah, no, we're definitely.
Oh, the Moose Bar.
There'll definitely be at least two shows in December then, because we'll record a show to get out on like just after Christmas. The Boxing Day preview show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We'll definitely try and get together as regularly as possible. Who knows? Hopefully we will in the new year have enough stability and structure to be able to come back regularly.
We need fresh meat, don't we?
We do need fresh meat.
I will say the last 4 years have been an utter pleasure doing this.
If you'd like to send us a photo of your meat...
send it to stuart.whore@trinitymirror.com.
Do that, actually.
Yeah. And remember,
he's actually giving out his actual email address.
Yeah, email address.
And remember, because I know he is listening to this show, all complaints to @SimonHead.
Any reviews you want to give us as well in the meantime,
we'll
read those out in a couple of weeks on the next show.
Please do stay in touch.
If we get enough reviews, we might be able to make a whole show out of just reviews.
That'd be a good one. That's one to look for.
It'd be like Top of the Pops.
It'll just be, how many ways can you call us cunts in 40 minutes?
Oh, why has he resorted to that, Jim?
When we do the next show. At least do one in a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks time.
Yeah, I reckon.
Find out what Fabrizio Ravanelli is doing now as well.
There we go. That's right. To keep you on tenter.
No, right. So I say we're going to do one in a few weeks time. We're going to do one, and it's going to be.
It's going to be the best show ever.
We're going to actually.
And it's going to be a really, really big announcement.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. It's going to be that we've all got serious illnesses.
It's not the end. It's not the end.
In many ways, it's the beginning, but in more ways, it is the end.
But no, we'll be back and we'll be stronger than ever at certain points.
But
keep tuned in to find out.
And you know the usual score, @footballpubcast on Twitter, /TheFootballPubcast on Facebook. Leave us some reviews. Keep in touch with us personally on Twitter. We're all there now.
We are all individually available 24 hours a day for banter.
Yes.
That can come at any point.
Yes.
Yeah. And other than that, enjoy the next few weeks. And we'll speak to you soon.
Love you. Bye.